precisely the same time my eyes fell on his dragon tattoo. His ribs exposed, his organs painted so lifelike he was part man, part skeleton, part myth. Never looking away, his hands fell to his belt buckle and undid it. Unbuttoning his shorts and unzipping the fly, he grabbed both the waistband of the beige material and grey box of briefs and pulled. He stripped with grace even while fighting gravity, and the moment he was free, he threw away his clothes as if they offended him. What is he doing? The question was void the moment I asked it. He understood. Clothing was not welcome when facing such furious power. We were merely human at the mercy of the weather. Who cared if we died dressed or naked? We had no armament against it. Might as well give in to the inevitable. I shivered, and not from the cold, as he moved toward me. His right hand landed on the railing where I gripped it. His thumb grazed my pinky. His erection hung heavy as he took another step, placing himself behind me, aligning our pieces as if we belonged to the same chessboard with a long-lost king and queen. I stopped breathing as his other hand landed on my left, his thumb mimicking his other and pressing my pinky. He didn't lean forward or wedge his nakedness against mine. He merely stood there, letting the wind nip my spine and the rain lick my shoulder blades. The only contact was my pinkies and his thumbs, but it was the most contact I'd ever had with anyone. He held me with nothing but his thoughts. He touched me with something better than hands. He cradled me in feeling, and no one, not my mother, friends, or Ulrich, had ever done such a thing. It cracked yet another piece of me, throwing it to the thunderhound snapping in the wind. His head came down, his nose tracing the shell of my ear. He inhaled me. I inhaled the sky. I didn't know if I smelled of imprisonment and hatred or freedom and love. I was blended now. The storm had taken what I'd been and made me into someone I was meant to become. It hadn't healed me. It had purged me, leaving me baptized by hell itself in its angry clawing abuse. A low groan slipped from his chest to mine. My answering shiver was for him, not the storm. My pattering heartbeat for him, not the rain. I was alive because of him. I was becoming more than Pym because of him. A wave surged inside me, breaking over the shore of my mind with the possibility of finally being honest with him, finally giving him my voice, finally admitting my true name. Before, there was no way I could weaken myself. Now, there was a way because it wasn't weakness. It was time. The softest kiss landed on my cheek, wiped away as quickly as it'd been bestowed. But it had happened. I'd felt it. Time stood still as a man stood behind me, protecting me, not molesting me, and allowed me to spread my wings and fly.
Chapter 37, Elder. I ought to strap her ass for standing so recklessly in the storm. I should give myself a whipping for doing the same thing. Where had common sense gone? Where had the fear of a lightning strike or falling overboard and drowning gone? Who the fuck knows? All I knew was standing naked with Pym while we faced death with no fear had been better than any pot, better than any drug I could take to calm my mind and let me control my tendencies. Being that way, free that way, had given me a glimpse into the sort of person I could become if I trusted myself that I wouldn't fuck it up like last time. An hour we stayed, riding the sea. An hour where my hands slowly slipped over hers, encapsulating her tiny grip while holding on to the rail beneath. An hour where my cock craved to press against her and my heart hammered at being so damn close. After an hour, it was as if someone notched up the churn cycle, switching the waves from rodeo to downright berserk. Our feet slipped often. We crashed against the balustrade frequently while I did my best to protect Pym from my weight as we shot forward, bending almost in half as the boat rolled, threatening to kiss the water before springing back and wrenching us into the sky. Danger turned to potential death. We'd tempted fate enough. I untied Pimlico's safety measure and dropped the belt into the sea. Instantly, the wind snatched it from my hands, a lick of white in the otherwise black sky. Keeping her hand locked in mine, I dragged her back to the relative safety of her suite. She took one door, and I took the other, both struggling and puffing to shut the wild weather outside and throw the lock home. Once the wind was banished, but the motion was not, I moved to the bed and grabbed the coverlet. Pimlico stood with spread legs, doing her best to predict where the next swell would take us, but tripped forward when the sea decided she'd guessed wrong. Cocking my chin, I didn't try to yell over the noise. For a moment, I wondered if I'd read our connection wrong outside. When I'd pressed against her fully clothed, her annoyance and frustration screamed loudly from tense muscles. Yet once I was naked and hovered but didn't touch, she'd relaxed as much as she could while fighting the rabid storm. We hadn't been able to talk, touch, or taste. Only watch and balance and bow to the ferocity of Mother Nature. But we'd been linked beyond anything else I'd ever felt. She'd been in my head. I'd been in hers. A connection breathed between us now that had no words but was so fucking strong. Tiredness and muscles ached and throbbed, but we still had a few hours before the storm stopped toying with us. We were soaked past bone and into soul, my teeth locking together from the building shivers. Moving to the sunken couch, I sat and dug into the cushions. As Pimlico deliberated if she wanted to join me or if I'd overstepped too many of her boundaries tonight, I pulled out the seatbelts wedged in there for times exactly like this. Fighting to stay upright for the first hour was fine. Fighting to stay seated and not tossed across the room by the fifth hour was not. Not bothering to dress, I locked the belt around my hips, ignoring that I fluctuated between aroused when I looked at Pim and calm when I looked away. Slowly, she stumbled toward me, grabbing onto bolted down furniture as she made her way across the space. By the time she flung herself onto the couch, her chest rose and fell with exhaustion. Giving her a smile, far happier than I should be about entrusting our lives to a tyrannical ocean, I reached across her and slid the buckle into its home. Wrenching the seatbelt tight across her belly, I grabbed the duvet and covered us both. I never took my eyes off her face, watching her carefully as the material settled around us, giving instant comfort and warmth on our cold, drenched bodies. A normal person with no aversion to clothing would snuggle in straight away, perhaps even sigh in relief to be draped in softness. Not Pim. She tensed. Her jaw worked as she swallowed, wrenching her arms out to press the coverlet down away from her face and neck. She didn't stop touching the soft cotton, but after a few seconds, she forced herself to relax. I couldn't figure out why she had such an issue with clothing. Yet another question I desperately wanted to ask. I had pages and pages inside my mind, sheets and sheets of queries and demands that would all have to wait until she was ready. Her 2 weeks is up. You could force her to talk. My face went slack, even as my body continued to tense with wave rocking. Hadn't I been patient and kind? Hadn't I gone out of my way to build a thin crust of trust so Pim could walk over water without drowning? I'd fulfilled my side of the bargain. It's time for her to fulfill hers.
Chapter 38. Pimlico. By dawn the storm hiccuped and decided it had enough fun for the night. Each rock slowly grew less violent. Each gale slowly lost interest. Elder woke from where we'd fallen into pockets of fitful sleep and unbuckled from the couch. Standing naked, he gave me a rueful smile as he strolled into the bathroom and stole a towel. The boat still skipped and dived, but we'd either adapted to the instability and our internal gyroscopes handled it better, or he'd taken whatever mystical powers his dragon tattoo had and enlisted its help. Unseen wings flapping with power, keeping him airborne even as his feet stayed connected to the phantom. I hated how his body no longer looked like a weapon or instrument to deliver pain, but something I liked to touch. I didn't know why I hated the switch of my conclusions. Wasn't it healthy to finally look upon a man and only see a man, no matter how handsome and unique he was, rather than see a killer? Elder didn't know the jumble of my thoughts, or how he distracted me while wrapping the towel around his waist, raking a hand through storm-blown hair. He said,
"I'm going back to my quarters. I have work to do. If, of course, the satellites are still intact."
His eyes lingered on mine, then on the bed where snatches of desire smoldered. I tensed. If he told me he wanted me, I wouldn't disobey. He'd earned sex after all he'd done. I might even marginally accept it. I wouldn't enjoy it, but I wouldn't loathe it like I had. Only, he tore his gaze away, shut down whatever he'd been thinking, and rubbed his 5 o'clock shadow.
"Rest. It was a long night."
Strolling to the door, he added,
"I'll come for you later."
Without giving me time to wave or respond, he left. The door closed, and every inch of adrenaline keeping me awake popped into tiredness. The thought of sleeping was the best concept ever, so I obeyed his command, curled up on my side with the seatbelt still trapping me in place, and slept a little more. By midday, the sun took control of the world, burning away the last gray clouds, banishing the rain back to hell. I woke irrevocably changed from who I'd been before the storm, and untethered myself from the couch in my past. Climbing on stiff joints and bruised bones, I stood on a calm boat and calm soul as if the two were linked with symbolism as well as fact. The world was tamed. My memories were tamed. I'd survived. Inhaling air still rich and dark from the clouds, I showered, dried, and deliberated whether to stay naked for my enjoyment or dress for his. I opted to wear the navy and blue shift, so I didn't upset the staff who would no doubt be on repairs now the storm had passed. By mid-afternoon, I found a perfect spot on the lifeboat canvas and basked in the hot sunshine. It shone brighter and brighter, as if to make up for the messy night before. I hadn't seen Elder, and I hadn't sought him out. I was happy to be on my own, slowly learning who I was after all this time, now the dirt had been washed away. By dusk, I retreated to my suite, pulled out the notepad and opened the door to my heart, ready to converse with imaginary confidant. "Dear no one, last night, I was in charge. Last night, I did what I wanted. I embraced my fear and let it do whatever it wanted to me. It terrified me but freed me. Does that make any sense?" When Elder joined me, I'd feared he'd take me away. I expected him to drag me back and slam the doors. But he joined me, no one. It was as if he needed to face his demons in those clouds the same as I did. As if standing together with nothing helped scatter our pieces and realign them into a completely different picture. I heard him, though. I heard his resolution before he left. He's run out of patience. Whatever self-control he's exercised won't last much longer, because he knows what I do. I owe him now, not just for the safety and time to heal, but for being with me last night, for no demands, for whatever emotion that links us. Am I ready to answer his questions? No. Am I ready to talk to anyone but you? Never. Will he force me regardless? I think so. He wants my voice just like Ulrich. It's up to me to decide if he deserves it.
Chapter 39, Elder. I never went back to her. The storm had upset the automatic ballast, and I worked all day with Jalfer to fix it. Once that was done, I had important emails to reply to, after I'd reset the communication panels. By the time night fell, I'd eaten a distracted dinner of lasagna and headed to my room to shower. I had plans to go to Pym once I'd washed away the salt from the storm. But I wanted to recenter myself first. I wanted to be sane, so the moment she opened the door, I wouldn't shove her against the wall and devour her. She was playing havoc with my control. Soon I wouldn't be able to be in the same room as her without needing to put an end to my frustration. As fresh warm water cascaded over me, my mind tormented me with her mouth on my cock, and the blowjob she'd tried to give. My hand gripped my length, begging to work for a release. Even though it took every ounce of energy I had left, I pulled my palm away. As much as I wanted to come, I didn't want to waste the anticipation of whatever would happen when Pym finally did accept me, finally trusted me to do more than kiss her. I groaned as the image of kissing led to touching, led to slipping inside her. My balls were rock fucking hard. She's driving me insane. I needed to focus on something else, something I was immensely good at, before I lost myself to the obsession that would spring into place the moment I tasted Pym. I battled it for too long. The second I fucked her, I'd be forced to give in, and then she'd see the real me. I snorted as I tilted my head to the spray. All this time, I'd been a gentleman. She thought she knew me. She couldn't have it more fucking wrong. The closer I let myself get to Pym, the harder it was to fight the urge to reveal who I truly was. Stepping from the shower, I dressed in dark gray sweatpants that sat low on my hips. I didn't bother with a shirt. My wraparound balcony opening onto the main deck glittered with stars thanks to the open doors, and the heat from the aftermath of the storm drenched the air with a heavy mugginess. Heading to the specially designed closet where foam and braces had been painstakingly crafted to embrace my cello, I undid the straps and pulled it free. If I hadn't installed such a safe place, I doubted the cello would have survived last night's catastrophe. The weight and bulk were no longer cumbersome, but I remembered a time when the instrument had been a foreign stranger. Then my tutor had played that first note, corralled my unskilled fingers to press on the right strings, and boom, the curse in my blood took over. I played and played and played. Every spare moment, I sat until my legs went to sleep. Hunger made me tremble, and my fingers bled for more music. No one could reach me. No one could stop me. Nothing else mattered. Nothing. As the cello settled like a compliant lover between my legs, my mind slipped backward into the quicksand of memories. All my young life, I'd lived with something inside me, something stronger than I was, something that had the power to destroy me as well as save me. I thought it would decimate everyone I loved until my mother took it upon herself to nurture it. My father agreed, and they gave me free rein to evolve my talent in music. I became obsessed, possessed, and utterly overpowered with the need to be as brilliant as I could. I'd read music until my eyes fogged. I'd practice and practice until my ears rang from the same notes, every sound of every hour of every day. Eventually, my tutor spoke to my father. He was afraid of my passion, afraid because I stopped eating, drinking, living. I only existed to master the cello in every way possible. However, my father understood who I was, and instead of scolding me, he encouraged me. I became worse. Origami started much the same. One night, I picked up a piece of my brother's homework left on the kitchen table. His assignment was to make a simple crane for a class project. It took me all night, but I mastered the entire exercise booklet, leaving my origami creations of cranes and boats and butterflies outside my brother's bedroom. So he woke up in a sea of folded color. After that, if I wasn't playing the cello, I was creasing paper into anything I could imagine. I no longer needed guidelines and instructions. I was the instructions. But then, I fucked up. My childhood disappeared, and my new life obsession was tracking down those who stole from me and steal from them in return. I'd hunt every person who'd ever put a roadblock in my path and kill them and I wouldn't stop until I was the biggest, baddest, most untouchable one of them all. The entire time my mind ran backward over good and evil. My fingers flew. Music poured. Violence was shared. Love was created. I didn't play as audiences expected. I didn't keep calm and close my eyes to visualize the notes better. I let loose. My body became quavers. My arms double clefs. I lost myself to the dark melody as I maimed and wounded it, changing and designing. Sweat glistened over my naked chest. My fingers became damp as I struggled to race through a crescendo that made me rock fucking hard and almost at the verge of burning tears. And then a flutter of motion wrenched my head up. Pimlico hovered just over the threshold of my room. Her mouth hung wide, her hands balled. She wore the white robe I'd given her when I'd pushed her from my room the last time. White, the color of where I'd stolen her from. White, the color of her innocence that had been ripped away. White, the color of lies and half-truths and fear. My fingers clanged to a stop. My bow dangled, vibrating with the last note I'd played. I'd lost myself so completely, I'd shredded half the horsehair. I did this often. I had an endless supply of strings to replace those I broke. I could never control how deep I'd go, how monstrous I'd play. And now, I'd done something I didn't want to do. I'd terrified Pim. Again. Hey. My throat was barbed wire. Gently placing the cello against the chair, I stood on shaky legs. I didn't see you come in. I wouldn't have seen a torpedo come in when I was in such a space, but Pim didn't need to know that. You okay? She couldn't tear her eyes off the cello, even as I stalked toward her. The sum of her past darkened her eyelashes, her gaze bright with ghosts. Ducking in front of her, I murmured, "Music can't hurt you, Silent One." She flinched as I tried to loop our fingers together. Scurrying around me, she bolted for my cello. Again? Balling my hands, I growled, "You know the rules, Pim. Don't fucking touch it. Take away my cello, and you'll take away me. I need something to play. It's either that or you. Your choice." She skidded to a stop a few feet away, as if the instrument would lash out and punch her. As if the strings would come alive and tie her down while the bow violated her. Hadn't she climbed over her mountain of hate last time she was here? How could music be so abhorrent on such a deep level? I played for you. Did it do nothing? You want her answers. She's already telling you. Moving toward her, I held out my hands as she whipped her head to face me. I think other methods are required to train that unneeded fear from you. She gnawed on the inside of her cheek. Edging around her, I grabbed the cello and sat back down, holding the large instrument to the side. Come here. She blanched, backing away instead. Don't disobey me. I've been more than cordial. I've been patient and mostly kind, but if you don't start doing what the fuck I want, I'll show you what happens when I get pissed off. I patted my lap again. Come here. Glowering with temper, she sniffed. Then, grudgingly, unwillingly, she shuffled forward and stood in front of me, her eyes still glued to the cello in my hand. At least that's a start. We'll work on your attitude later. Opening my left arm, I nodded at my crotch. Sit. Her eyebrows rose, a barely noticeable shake of her head. It pleased me and annoyed me in equal measure. Since taking her a few weeks ago, she'd built a backbone to verbalize her unwillingness after so long in captivity. That was because of me. After the storm last night, I'd seen where I'd gone wrong. She needed events to push her past her comfort zone. She had to be dragged back to normal by any means necessary. I'd given her the time to find herself. It was my turn to show her who I was. Then we could move forward together. Before my desire explodes and I destroy everything. Her eyes narrowed as I waited for her to obey, Our silence battled and clashed with muted swords, but finally she huffed and turned to perch on the very tip of my knee. That wouldn't work. I needed her close. I needed to feel her heart through my chest so I could monitor her terror levels. Remember, do what I say and I won't hurt you. Lassoing my arm around her, I gathered her close, hoisting her from my knee to my thigh. She weighed absolutely nothing, and she gasped as her hip pressed against my cock, which was still granite from playing. I nuzzled her throat. I'm hard because I play, but now you're on my lap, I'm thinking of stroking something entirely different to my cello. Fuck. Just hinting at stroking something of hers made every drop of blood swell in my pants. She stiffened, froze, then turned lifeless on my lap. That wasn't allowed. Resting my bow against my knee, I reached around her nape and gathered her hair to one side, pulling it over her shoulder. She flinched as my fingers grazed her neck. Seemed she still had pressure points hot-wired to whatever that cunt had done to her. Ignoring her tension, I soothed. I'm not going to touch you. How many times do I need to tell you that? Her spine locked even harder, forcing me to admit my contradiction. I know I'm holding you close, but you have my word. I won't touch you anywhere else than where I currently am. Her nostrils flared, doing her best to suck in a breath. Soon you will tell me in explicit detail what scares you so much about melodies. You'll tell me if I'm right about it playing while you were hurt. But for now, we're going to make you the creator, not just the listener. Her breathing quickened as my bicep bunched to drag the cello between my legs. I wasn't comfortable with her on top of me, and the angle was wrong to play smoothly. But somehow, I knew Pimlico needed to do this, if she had any hope of reclaiming yet another part of her. Holding the tattered bow, I murmured, "Give me your hand." I opened my left palm in invitation, waiting like I would with a scared bird to take a crumb from me. Sucking in a deep inhale, Pim obeyed as slowly as if the world had stopped moving and one day had stretched to three. I didn't rush her. I forced myself to be patient. Whatever progress we'd made together from the storm and pickpocketing session had been dulled thanks to my cello. But when her touch finally connected against mine, she shuddered. I shuddered. Fuck, it was like her positive met my negative and created a current, flowing unhindered between us. Her hand in mine was almost too much. My body clenched to claim more. It took every ounce of willpower to grit my teeth and keep my touch gentle. Once I'd gathered tattered self-discipline, I fought the urge to inhale her. Good, let me control you. I guided her hand to the fingerboard. She struggled a little as I wrapped her palm tight on the veneer and her fingers pressed against the strings. Feel it? It's not alive. It's nothing but a lacquered shell and string. She shifted on my knee, bumping against my cock. I locked down my muscles as the anticipation of having her so close while playing almost tipped me over. It's not alive until you do this. I reached further around her, guiding her fingers to the right chord. Once she was in position, I softly dragged the half-ruined bow over the strings. Sound leapt, echoing in the age-old cello, pouring rich and raw around us. Goosebumps leapt over my skin. Pim jolted. Wrenching her hand from mine, she clenched it with the other as if the cello had stung her. Perhaps it had. Memories stung. Recollections whipped. She had to get past her mind to enjoy such simple pleasures. Not saying a word, I grabbed her hand and replaced it once again on the fingerboard. She went stiff, but didn't try to pull away. She leaned tight against my chest, as if to get as far from the cello as possible. I fought my instinct to kiss her throat and played a B. My eyes snapped closed as the robust, meaty note quavered. There was no better sound than this. No better magic than this. She wriggled, but I didn't let go this time. Stop it. Whatever hold these notes had, let it go. Be that girl in the storm. Remember who you are and who you want to be. I played an A, then a D, and a G sharp, introducing her ears to a range of highs and lows, savory and sour notes, sweet and salty. And once we'd done a chord chart, I gathered her closer. Let me guide you. Don't fight it. And then I began to play. Some notes slipped as our fingers entwined together. Some ended short with my ruined bow. But for the next 4 minutes and 53 seconds, Pim allowed me to drench her in pain-swimming music. She let me drag her back to the depths to pick up the pieces that sank so far inside her, she would never have had enough oxygen to dive down and salvage them on her own. The barriers between us melted away, and just like in the storm, I felt her inside me. I heard her plight. I saw her history. And I understood her on a level I hadn't let anyone enter for decades. Her spine remained locked against my chest, never softening or submitting, but her fingers warmed beneath mine, accepting, not cursing the song we created. Sexual intensity peaked midway when the tune soared high, then swooped epically low, a rich combination speaking of abuse and melancholy. The hair on the back of my arm stood up, and I couldn't stop my face turning to Pim and my lips caressing her throat. She winced, but her neck arched for me to nuzzle, then dropped to prevent an open-mouthed kiss. We lived in a state of lustful flux, where sex plaited itself around us, pulling tighter and tighter, harder and harder to ignore. Her weight on my leg and hip against my cock drained my energy faster than any sprint or swim. I was breathless. I was witless. I was utterly spent and ripped apart. The song was an eternity. The song was a second. And when the last note faded, I let her hand go and dropped my arm from around her. I needed her gone because if she didn't, I'd fuck her. Leave. Get away from me. She remained frozen on my lap, her feet planted on the ground, taking her weight even though I would gladly support her, just not when I was seconds away from becoming a savage. Tears decorated her eyelashes like spiderwebs, hanging so fine, threading a silver-webbed trap over her cheeks. How long had she been crying? My desire switched to rage. Every urge wanted to wipe away those damning tears and find a way to plug her mind from memories, but I let her stay in her thoughts. I didn't force her to return. I gave her the time we both needed to find sanity. Slowly, her body relaxed from its music-induced statue. She stood from my lap. I let her go. I never looked away as she paced toward the bed and sat on the mattress with her head in her hands. The cello felt heavy in my arms as I shifted it to the floor, making sure it was safe before going to her. Now was the time. This was what I'd been waiting for. She was vulnerable, shaken, but not broken. She'd never been broken. But now, she had more glue along the hairline fractures and more courage than tears. Talk to me. Her eyes met mine, drying from whatever she'd suffered while we played. She sat taller. Towering over her, I commanded. I've been patient long enough, Silent Mouse. I've given you things I've never given anyone. It's time to return the favor. She squeaked silently as I reached for her throat. I was aware of her fear of having her neck touched, but I didn't let her globe-wide eyes stop me. She had to learn I would touch her wherever I damn well pleased. She had to trust I wouldn't hurt her like he had. Clasping my fingers around her throat, I murmured, "Your tongue is healed. You have a working voice box. Sound can come out of your mouth. I know it. I won't beat you. I won't force you. I won't even touch you. But you will talk to me." Letting her go, I spread my fingers. "See? I'm going to put them behind my back. I give you my word I won't touch you." I smirked. "For the next 10 minutes, at least. If you behave and do what I say, I'll keep my hands to myself for a little longer. Do exactly what I say, and I don't touch you at all. My jaw lowered. Don't do what I say, and I'll have to break my promise. Do you understand? Her eyes shot darts while her neck contracted as she swallowed. Good. Bracing myself, I pushed my legs farther apart and locked my hands behind my back. Now you know the rules. Let's begin.
Chapter 40. Pimlico. Why must he continue calling me Mouse? That wasn't his to use. Every time he said it in his carnally cruel voice, it sent me careening back to a teenager who wasn't worse than any other teenager, but was woefully naive. I didn't want to be naive anymore. I wasn't naive when it came to the world of men. I knew what Elder wanted. I'd felt it the entire time he made me conjure awful sounds from that beast he loved so much. His erection had scalded my hip as if it had a furnace cranked to 1,000 degrees. But if he was going to have sex with you, he wouldn't have promised not to touch you. The logic didn't soothe me. It only made me more confused.
Tell me your real name.
Did he honestly think I'd just blurt it out? That 2 years of silence would be forgotten because he played me one song and stood with me in a storm. The residue terror from him touching my neck, from kissing my neck, overflowed. I'd done my best to keep it in check. But if he was about to force me to speak, I wouldn't let him win the battle. It was my decision if he deserved my voice. He doesn't. Not after that awful cello. I stood up, chin cocked. His face darkened.
Answer me.
I crossed my arms. No.
Pim.
Don't pim me. The power and freedom from spending the night wrapped in thunder gave me reckless courage. The music he'd forced into my ears kept echoing on repeat, making me twitchy and wild. Two extremes, slinging together to meet in a mess of frustration, fear, and fury. So much fury. I was done playing his games. I was done playing anyone's games. I'll make the rules from now on. You hear me? I'd come here looking for the man who played with me on the deck. I'd invited myself into his quarters, hoping he'd kiss me again. I didn't come to be pushed and pushed, and I definitely didn't come to talk. I came for fun, and you just made me cry. Elder stood between me and the door. I wanted out. I wanted to run and write to no one. I wanted to toss away his bronze genie lamp, because he'd lied about granting me wishes. If he had the power to do that, he would have taken away my repulsion of touch and kisses and sex, and I could stand before him with heat rather than ice. I could feel his cock against my hip and melt rather than freeze. After weeks of living with him, I thought I'd be better. He'd promised me he'd find a cure. You're a liar. Standing, I stepped forward. I'm over this. His eyes tightened, but he didn't speak as I took another step and another. My crossed arms wrapped tighter, as if they could shield me from whatever might come next. I kept encroaching on his space, not caring I went closer to him. My goal was to push past and fly out the door before he could break his promise of not touching me, for the second time tonight, and force me to talk.
What are you doing?
He whispered, his face cast in shadows. His eyebrows were angry black slashes, his hair tangled from playing such soul-crushing music. I'm leaving. A few more steps and our chests would touch. A few more steps and I'd be able to shove him away and bolt out the door. My gaze kept darting between him, the exit, and that damn awful cello. I didn't care that the first time he'd forced me to stay, it hadn't been as bad as I thought. This time, actually feeling the notes quiver and swell beneath my fingers, all I'd felt were Ulrich's whips. Sickness sat in my stomach like a cannonball. Two more steps and our bodies aligned. I craned my head to stare. Just let me go. Elder stood his ground.
Sit down, Pim. We're not done.
Yes, we are. I didn't second guess my need to strike him, to hurt him. Even as my hands flew up on their own accord and shoved him backward to give me space, I wasn't fully in control. Get out of my way! He stumbled but quickly righted himself. The air crackled with brutality.
You seriously want to do this?
His voice wavered with violence. Do what? Let me go? Yes, let me go. For all his perceptive patience and cruel understanding, he didn't have a clue what I felt. Did he think he'd fixed me? That his cello was some magical pill and now I was normal? It doesn't work that way. I don't want to talk to you. Nothing about the sudden switch from pit-pocket flirting to destroying me with music made me want to open up and have a heart-to-heart. He doesn't need a heart-to-heart. He read your secrets, remember? More anger poured through me like hot wax. All I wanted was to leave and get away from the lingering tingle in my blood, from his heat and the sparkling fear from his notes. I advanced on him, my hands outstretched and ready for war. He braced his legs, his jaw lowered.
Push me again and see what happens, Pim.
The warning should have been enough to make me sit back on the bed and behave, to open my mouth and utter a single word. But he'd let me get away with other misdemeanors. What was to say he wouldn't let me get away with this one? I wasn't pretending. I needed to go, right now. And you're in my way. Baring my teeth, I shoved him, putting all my power into the force behind my pommel. He staggered back, his eyes widening, only to go black as death as I darted toward the door. Freedom. He was no longer a roadblock. I'd done that. I'd turned the key. Now all I had to do was cross the threshold and return to my room, and this could all be forgotten. I took three steps before his hand lashed out, wrapping around my wrist.
I warned you, Pimlico. I fucking warned you not to push me.
He whirled me around, slamming me against his chest.
You pushed and pushed, and I can't fucking take it anymore.
His lips came down on mine, tearing my mouth open and kissing me deep. My tummy tangled in horror and heat as I squirmed in his embrace. This kiss was different. This kiss was real. His past kisses had been fakeries. Elder chose this moment, a moment when I was scattered and jittery, to reveal who he was beneath his masked decorum. This kiss was utter violence. Violence I knew. Danger was what I'd been fed, and violence was what I drank for years. My body reacted. Shutting down, it turned stiff and unyielding, even as something strange happened. The foreignness that had been budding from seed to seedling ever since I'd woken in Elder's domain flourished. The wetness he'd caused in the streets of Morocco returned without permission. I hated that two women lived inside me. Two personalities, two hopes and dreams and wishes. The male tongue in her mouth appalled Pimlico. She wanted to bite it, run from it. She hurt with every lick and would forever remain just a little bit broken. She would never enjoy sex because her induction in life had been too traumatic to untangle. But then there was Tamsin, a girl who'd enjoyed late-night touches from incompetent boyfriends and was still a virgin to pleasure. A girl who was steadily learning to take back control. A girl who flickered into authority and felt Elder's kiss, rather than endured it. My body stiffened, then softened. Fought, then floundered. And Elder didn't stop kissing me. His tongue didn't stop dancing with mine, and I didn't know if I licked him back in war or welcome. His touch hurt, but in two ways now instead of one. I was familiar with the bite of fear and unwillingness, but I was new to the heat and fire of his dominance. His hand wrapped around my nape, kissing me harder. Part of me wanted to run from his touch. The other wanted to have him collar me so I could feel safe in his control. My lips bruised. My mind became a washed-up origami sailboat.
Fuck, Pim. I can't stop.
Sweeping me off my feet, he sank to his knees with me in his embrace. His mouth never stopped claiming mine, biting and nipping, forcing me to accept whatever passion he'd held back. And he'd held back a lot. I gasped as his hand tore at my robe, yanking it open to reveal my breast. The cool air licked around my nipple. It hardened. Pim screamed. Tamsin moaned. The bondage in my mind reached snapping points. His hand clamped on the sensitive flesh. Nightmares and flashbacks threatened to take me under. The terror that this was the moment Elder turned into Ulrich begged me to cut loose and sink inside myself until it was over. But Tamsin clung to sensations. She threw back her head and said yes to living. That strange, unwelcome, molten desire licked from his touch into my core, keeping me locked in his embrace. For the first time in my life, I felt a siphon of pleasure beneath the rage of being hurt. Pim lost a smidgen of power. Tamsin snatched it. Elder didn't pay any attention to my internal battle. He didn't know how much he affected me, how much he drugged and shredded my mind. His thoughts weren't on me for once. He didn't watch me, judging how far to take me. He was utterly obsessed with his demons.
Christ, I need you.
His words tipped into my mouth, pushed down my throat with his tongue. Sitting up on his knees, he ripped the terry cloth belt undone and spread the robe wide. The soft cotton had no power against whatever madness lived in his blood. The moment he'd spread my gown into a cape, he positioned me over his thighs and fumbled with his sweatpants. His knuckles grazed my inner thighs, nudging my sex. Pimlico burst into tears, hiding her face, begging this to be over. Tamsin stiffened, giving in to the fear from Pim and pausing for a second too long. Horror replaced my fascination over how well Elder played my body. I was his cello now. My spine was his bow, in my breasts his strings. He created love but violence at the same time. The back of his hand caught my sex again. I stiffened, even as something inside me melted rather than screamed. I didn't know what he was doing, how far he would go, but everything I'd been trained to expect in sex, every nuance my body had learned to shut out, was achingly sensitive and kept me on a knife edge of sensation. A growl rumbled in his chest as his touch turned swift and angry. Blistering heat branded me from his fingers. My tummy twisted as pants were shoved away. The sight of his cock scared me, and like always my body clamped down against what was about to happen. Now Pim and Tamsin were back into one person. There was no more split. Neither wanted this, not like this. Not so soon or so quick. But Elder didn't notice my quaking legs or feel my writhing arms. He was too far gone in lust to notice. No, stop. His hand delved between my thighs, two fingers finding my core and pressing into me. He grunted beneath his breath, and despite Pim's dryness and unresponsiveness, Tamsin had condemned us both with the slick invitation of wetness.
Fuck, I never thought I'd get inside you like this.
Elder curled his fingers, sinking deep. I stopped breathing as his touch withdrew, then swirled around my clit, forcing my mind to stay anchored when all I wanted to do was flee. The longer he touched me, the more my body decided to ignore everything it knew and give in to him. It was too hard to fight, too exhausting to care. My mind was a sprinting circus, my blood jumping fleas. Something heavy curled in my belly, whispering through my veins, stealthily and swift. It didn't matter that I refused this. It didn't matter I wasn't mentally prepared. My body blossomed beneath his touch. It relished his soft menstruations, not agonizing the punishment. It liquefied for erotic bliss while I rocked in the corner in tears. He groaned as he touched me again, his fingers sliding in and filling me. I shuddered despite myself. My mouth opened in a silent scream. His lips trailed fire from my mouth to my ear, hoisting me higher in his embrace as his legs bunched beneath mine.
Shit, Pim.
He hadn't put me on the carpet once, hadn't stopped cradling me once. His hands took control, but there was still a semblance of caring in the way he touched me. I tried to focus on that, rather than where his fingers were. I tried to remember the laughter when I stole his wallet and not the heavy breath growing thick with desire in my ear.
Let go. God damn it, let go.
His fingers thrust up.
Enjoy me as I'm enjoying you.
My back bowed, and something I'd kept locked deep inside since stepping onto the auctioneer block in QMB floated to the surface. The longer Elder's hands stroked me, the closer his cock came to claiming me, the less flimsy the lock became. Cracks and fissures rippled like an earthquake. I hated how unstable he made me, how I didn't know what was up and down and around. I clung to him even as I tried to run, and when his fingers slid from my body, and he clutched my frame to hoist me higher over his thighs, I lost it. I stopped thinking. I turned catatonic with numbness, while at the same time became a firework about to ignite. Two massive extremes, one massive event.
I need you so fucking much.
His legs worked as he positioned me over his cock. His sweatpants clung to his thighs. Clothing hindered both of us, a prison for our bodies, while I was imprisoned by fear in my mind. Fisting himself, he angled upright and slowly lowered me down. I couldn't fight. I couldn't speak. I couldn't breathe. All I could do was fall forward into his embrace, as my body, so well trained from years of abuse, welcomed his thick length effortlessly. There was no obstruction, no denial. The wetness only made his entry smooth rather than agonizing. My teeth clamped on his shoulder, biting as hard as I could as the tip of him nudged the tip of me, and whatever lock I'd kept fastened exploded. With a feral growl, he smashed me into pieces, tore down my defenses, and left Pimlico gaping and bleeding while Tamsin stood over her in newfound power. The battlefield of my mind quieted as Elder thrust into me victoriously. He grunted with primal satisfaction, then thrust again, filling me so, so deep.
Christ, Pim.
I'd never been so stretched, never been so utterly devoured. And then the tears began. Deep, endless black tears. Tears turned to sobs. Sobs turned to body shakes, and finally, I got through to Elder in his sex haze. He instantly stiffened, holding me away from him to look at my face. His cock twitched inside me as a disgusted hatred coated his features.
Ugh, fuck.
Crushing me to him in a hug, he kissed the top of my head as if I was a little girl who'd had a nightmare.
Christ, what have I done?
The contradiction of such comfort was negated every time his body jerked inside mine.
Shit, Pim. I'm sorry. Shit.
Gritting his teeth, he pulled me away from him, his legs gathering to push me off. I couldn't bear to be tossed away after he'd stolen everything. I needed something to clutch while I became completely undone. Throwing myself forward, I gulped and suffocated in tears, drowning in every emotion I'd stopped myself from feeling for so long. I needed his arms, otherwise I'd die. I needed him to hold me now he decimated the podium I stood on and left me in rubble. I had no one else, not even myself. His arms lashed tight. His lips landed on my scalp again, and he rocked me like an infant. He didn't try to pull out, and the thickness of him coupled with the heaviness of his heartbeat surrounded me until my tears became waterfalls of grief. I never thought sex would be my undoing. Sex had been my nemesis for so long, but I'd blocked it out. I couldn't block him out. I couldn't stop the knowledge that while he'd taken me against my will, my body had invited it. Time lost all meaning as he rocked and murmured and gave me a place to come undone. My hips hurt spread over his. My pussy clenched against his invasion. My eyes blurred the world even as he remained steel-hard inside me. I ceased to be Ulrich's and became Elder's instead.
Chapter 41, Elder. What the fuck was I thinking? How had I let myself snap so totally? I hadn't given in to my irresponsible compulsiveness for years, and now I'd done the worst thing I could ever do. Pim clung to me, bawling as if I could save her from the awful thing I'd just done. I hated that she still permitted me to be her savior while I was no better than the men I'd stolen her from. It's okay. I stroked her hair, gritting my teeth every time her body shuddered and the delicious fucking way it felt around my cock. I'm sorry. Fuck, I'm so sorry. I couldn't do this anymore. My self-control was at its frayed and bitter end. I'd have to sell her or just take her back and give her freedom. I can't do this. So what, she knew who I was and had enough evidence to have police come knocking on my door. I had to do the right thing for once, and the right thing was letting her go. Pim, it's okay. The knowledge I'd grant her freedom calmed me a little. If I could piece her back together now, she would never have to see me again after tonight. Taking a steady breath, I whispered, "Sit up, so I can, What, pull out? Remove myself from you? Stop raping you?" I cringed against such a word. Pim hugged me tighter, her shoulders bunched as if she would be swept away if I let her go. Her teeth marks on my shoulders smarted, a faint tickle of liquid hinting she'd drawn blood. Shit, if it meant she could reverse some of the damage I'd caused by delivering it on my skin, I'd gladly take it. No wonder my family left me. They were right. Look at me. I truly am a monster. Holding her was the hardest fucking thing I'd done. I wanted to disengage and give her some space. But if holding her until I died was what it took to redeem myself, then so be it. I didn't try to rush her. While she cried, I did my best to deflate my cock, but nothing worked. Her strength was what attracted me to her in the first place. Her tears were what made me snap now. This felt like an end. I'd ruined it. I'd proven to her that my promises meant shit, and she was right to look at me with accusation and suspicion. Right to believe I would one day hurt her, because what the fuck was I doing now? I was inside her against her will. I'd taken something she wasn't prepared to give. I'd lost control, again. Time ticked onward, but I never stopped stroking or cradling. The gift she gave by allowing me to touch her after I'd forced myself onto her crippled me. Slowly, Pim pulled away. I expected her to stand and physically remove every part of me from her. However, her hands landed on either side of my face, her gaze searching mine as if hearing my grief and regret. Her fingers were so soft they tickled as she traced my jaw. Tears fell from her eyes, an awful void inside her. My gut spasmed. "What is it? What can I do? Name it. I'll do whatever you need." Her touch turned fierce, holding me firm. Her mouth opened to speak. To speak. I stopped breathing, my ears throbbing to listen. She swallowed hard, forehead furrowing with concentration. My heart erupted. My cock doubled in size. If I hadn't just taken her on the floor, I would have kissed and fucking kissed her. She forced past her unused voice and finished.
Elder.
My name. Her first word was my name. Her voice was everything I wanted and more. Accented, pure, feminine. I needed to come. I had no doubt if she commanded me to come in her perfect, pretty voice, I would. I inhaled to reply, but she pressed two fingers over my lips and shook her head. She coughed, her eyes tightening against pain. I obeyed and remained silent. She sat a little taller. Her pussy gloved my cock with furious heat, and I did my best to push such bliss away. She had no idea how fucking hard it was to stay still and not thrust when every instinct bellowed to drive deep. Brushing away a fresh river of tears, she gasped,
"You hurt me."
"Christ." I tore my mouth away from her command to be quiet. "I know. Fuck, I know. I'm so sorry." She clamped her hands over my lips.
"I know."
She coughed and swallowed, slowly relaxing into the foreignness of her speech.
"You hurt me. But before that, you saved me."
My nostrils flared, and I trembled with the need to rip her hand away and talk. Licking her lips, she whispered,
"You saved me, and for that I'll be forever grateful. But Elder..."
Her eyes latched onto mine, swimming with fresh tears.
"Where were you 2 years ago?"
Earth collided with Mars and Venus and hurtled into my chest to annihilate my heart. Asteroids followed, ransacking my insides until all that remained was a gaping hole my dragon could never hope to guard. "Where were you 2 years ago?" I understood straight away. I felt the shredding of my insides turning into strips of bloody flesh. Her sobs broke through her strength. Her body rocked on my cock, making love to me all while she gave me her agony. Her hand fell from my mouth as she curled into my arms again. Her sweet, unused voice repeated into my skin.
"Where were you 2 years ago?"
Her fingernails scratched my belly.
"Where were you when he killed me?"
Her teeth bit my shoulder.
"Where were you when he sold me?"
Her hand curled into a fist and hit me.
"Where were you?"
She hit again.
"Where were you?"
She struck harder.
"Where were you?"
She let loose and pummeled me.
"Where were you? Where were you? Where were you?"
And all I could do was sit there with my body inside hers, cold and ruined, answerless, powerless, destroyed.
This has been Dollars, Book 2 in the Dollars series. Written by Pepper Winters. Narrated by Kylie Stewart and Eric Rolon. Copyright 2017 by Pepper Winters. Production copyright 2017 by Pepper Winters.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.